time to move on, Isaac, to the E tier. So I guess what are we saying? The worst team in the E tier, would you say, is the Kansas City Royals or the Detroit Tigers?
Who did you have in the...
I mean, I actually initially had the Royals in the F tier and the Tigers in the D tier. Or E tier, sorry. And then we swapped them.
I had Detroit below Kansas City.
Okay. Part of the reason I didn't is because Greg is high on the Tigers this year, and I didn't want to completely ignore his input. Greg actually had... This is kind of crazy. Greg, I'm pretty sure Greg had the Tigers ahead of, like, the San Francisco Giants. That seems kind of crazy to me.
Does it?
But, yes. But, I mean, that's Greg's input. So, Greg does not co-sign this pick, basically, of the Tigers being the 24th worst team in the league. Or 24th best team in the league, I should say. The 6th worst. But Isaac and I pretty much agree that the Tigers are unfortunately not that good. And Isaac, I actually would say that last year I had higher hopes for the Tigers than I do this year, which is not good for a rebuilding team.
They looked promising. They looked promising. I don't know what it was last year. It just...
I mean, they brought in Javi.
Yeah, and then they just didn't really do anything with it at all. And then coming into this season, their prospects didn't seem further along than they did last year. The ones they brought up weren't actually putting up the numbers that we were hoping. And now we're going into this season, and it's like the same thing exactly. But now that we've seen some of these prospects, the expectations are a little bit more tampered, I think. And I think that's a perfect way to put it. Just don't offer much excitement.
Yeah, and I also think Casey Mize is out for the season. Kind of my favorite pitcher that they had in their rotation. He was, you know, kind of their biggest pitching prospect who has made the turn and actually become a big league player and had some good moments so far in his big league career. And he's not going to be there for the entire season. So that's not good. That basically leaves Eduardo Rodriguez, who is... like decent, I guess. He's the ace of their rotation, but he's kind of a guy that I just feel like, I don't know if he's just not motivated, but he just doesn't seem to, like, again, take that next step and get to the level that people expect him to be at. He's in the rotation. Then they got Matthew Boyd. They signed Michael Lorenzen. Wait, is that his first name? Uh-huh. Yeah, I think so, right?
I think so. Yeah,
they signed Lorenzen in the offseason. Spencer Turnbull.
All I know is he is cheap, cheap Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, yeah. he did hit tanks with the Cincinnati Reds back in the day. Yeah, and then you have, who you got here? Spencer Turnbull, yeah, coming back from Tommy John, threw a no-hitter. People might remember that.
Yeah.
Then you got Matt Manning and Tarik Skubal as well. So they kind of have, like, that's what they got going right now. In the bullpen, they have, like, Jose Cisnero, who had a decent season last year, and that's kind of it. They did have Gregory Soto, and now he's not there anymore. So don't like that. Position players, catching, they got Eric Haas. First base, you have Spencer Torkelson, who's obviously, like, the one of their big prospects that kind of underwhelmed last year. Jonathan Scope and Cesar Hernandez are kind of your second baseman. Jonathan Scope seemingly has been there forever. Got Javi Baez at shortstop. In the outfield, you have Akil Baddoo and Riley Green, and then a question mark. And then DH, you have Miguel Cabrera, who is past his prime.
I think if Babe Ruth played in modern day, he would be Michael Lorenzen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's actually super disrespectful, though, because Michael Lorenzen is in, like, extremely good shape.
You know what? Yeah, okay.
And Babe Ruth is the opposite of that. Isaac, I just realized that I was going to, I have all these shirts and hats laid out here for this recording session, because I have an article of clothing for every team that's in each tier. So I was going to switch my,
okay, switch my outfit right now. What the fuck?
So I will. I'm going to do that. While I do that, you contemplate the over-under, which is set at 68.5 wins for
you. Better hurry up, because I've done contemplated that shit. Oh, I've been contemplating the loan. Okay, well, the over under is set at 68.5. They won 66 last year. I am definitely hitting the under. I just don't see improvement on this roster. And as Jacob said, Casey Mize is out for the season. Therefore, what do we have to look forward to? Just another mid-year Javi Baez swinging and missing. Miggy breaking more records. Does he have any more records to go? Right now, I'm just rambling. I have no idea. Not I already really. Said the over-under.
Dude, he doesn't really have that many records. If you look it up, it's like, at this point, he's just kind of playing out the end of his contract.
Can he break any more records?
I don't think that there's any that are really, like, attainable for him.
Let me find out.
So I would say not really at this point.
What are you wearing now?
All right. I have switched. I have made an outfit change. And look at this, Isaac. It's quite exciting.
Oh, shit.
It's the new D-backs jersey that I recently purchased off of Mitchell and Ness.
Oh, so they're in this shout tier.
Yep.
Okay.
Got Randy Johnson on the back. It's a pretty fire jersey. I'm super excited about
it. I may have disagreed with you on that one.
You might have, yep. But I think it's difficult to choose, and I'm putting them in the E tier.
Okay,
but
that's anyways, fine. And we have to now because you have the jersey on.
Exactly. Now it's established. It's firmly established in here. I am taking the under as well. Last year they won 66. I think they're probably going to win the same amount of games. And the over-under is set at 68.5, so... Under for both. Okay. Now I guess, Isaac, we should talk about the Royals, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Still not good. Definitely in a bit of a rebuild mode. Not a bit of a rebuild mode. Definitely in a rebuild mode. No questions. Yeah. They've got a pretty weak rotation of Zach Greinke, who... I mean, that's just kind of funny to see him back in Kansas City, I guess. And then you got Brady Singer, who I don't like his attitude on the mound. If you actually watch him pitch any games, he always just seems defeated and annoying. He just seems kind of like a whiny guy. Obviously, I don't know him personally, so apologies if that's actually completely not the case. But that's just the vibe he gives off on the mound.
Wait, Brady Singer?
Yeah.
Is it his name?
That is his name. Why is my camera so blown out?
I don't know.
Just the lighting in here right now?
Something happened. I looked down for a minute because I was looking at Miggy's stats, and now you're white. Like, you were
okay,
white
keep,
before,
keep,
but now
keep
you're
telling
like
the people
Casper.
About here. I'm going to fix the blinds.
About what?
About the Royals.
Oh, where were you? I wasn't even listening. Okay, we're here. He went to Singer, then Lynch, then Bubich, and Lyles. I don't like anybody in this rotation. I like Greinke. He's cool.
Greinke's fun.
You're talking shit about this weak lineup. I disagree. You have Salvi as your catcher. Okay. You have Bobby Witt Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom, boom. And potential steal come draft day in Fantasy League. I still can't pronounce his name properly, Jacob.
Pasquantino.
Thank you. He could be a top 10 first base in fantasy leagues.
You think so?
He could be. I said he could. I didn't say he will be. He could be.
Okay. Interesting take.
He has hope.
MJ Melendez as catcher and DH as well. He has a little bit of power. Some offensive upside there.
Yeah.
The teams are getting better, man.
Their offense is okay. I mean, their infield is okay. I like their infield. Now,
yeah, you like Nicky Lopez?
Yes.
He's a good defender. He's not a very good hitter.
Okay, you have 3 out of 5 guys fill in the infield, including catcher, that you'll live with. Well, mm-hmm. Selvie you'll live with at this point. I don't think he's going to do anything tremendous anymore at this point in his career, but who knows? He's Selvie every year. Then Pescantino has a lot of upside, and Bobby Witt Jr., of course, is a potential Hall of Famer if he lives true to his expectations, as he has in his rookie season. So,
yeah. Isaac, but their outfield is atrocious.
I don't even
want to
talk about the outfield.
I didn't even put anyone down. Like, I looked at their depth chart, and I was like, who are these people?
Yeah.
So that just means that they're young guys. I looked at the date of birth. There's a lot of 98 to 2001 in their outfield. And, you know, if they haven't really crossed my radar as a big prospect, they're not a big prospect. They're maybe guys that are kind of high up on their organizational depth chart.
Yeah, so
in terms of prospects, but like there's not anyone there really.
Now that
that's exciting.
Now
like
that
Kyle
I'm looking
Isbell,
at this roster. Now that we're looking
yeah, they're
at
not
this,
good.
Now that I'm looking at this roster, I'm thinking that I kind of regret not switching Pittsburgh instead.
Yeah, I like Pittsburgh better than I like this team.
Me too.
But it's too late now.
Okay, well,
I don't know, though. Okay, let's be fair, though. The Royals, Isaac, are one of those teams that seems to just kind of... They kind of hit.
Okay, they're 2015 you know? World
they
Series
put things
team.
Together.
Garbage looking on paper at the beginning of the year. Like, yeah. Mid. Not garbage, but they were mid. So, you know what? I'm happy with where we put them. There's a reason we put them in this tier for a reason originally.
Okay, but here's another thing that we haven't even touched on, and it's the fact that they actually have a pretty solid bullpen as well. They got Stallmount.
Right.
They got Scott Barlow in there still.
Yeah.
Max Castillo, who they stole from the Blue Jays last year, who I actually thought looked really good for the Blue Jays at the time. Jose Kwas is that interesting story of that dude that was like working at a car wash or some shit like that, and then decided to get back and try to make it to the show, and he did. And then he had a pretty decent season last year. I think he had like a 3.18 ERA or something like that. And then they signed that garbage human in Aroldis Chapman. And he's on their team now, which is kind of interesting. He'll try to figure out his yips that he's got going on there. But I mean, that's potentially a
pretty big arm.
I hope
he doesn't figure
out
the yips,
that.
To be honest.
Yeah. I'd like his career to just be over, to be fair.
You know what? Maybe they're the ugly, sneaky team that somehow reaches heights. This could be a good take to put them in E tier.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Okay, should we hit the over-under?
Yeah, I'll do it first this time if you want, because I've been pressuring you to make a decision. And I'll go first this time. I'm actually going to take the over. It's set at 68.5. Last year, they won 65 games. I think that they got a little better than that. I think that they could win 69, maybe even 70.
I thought they were a 70 win team.
Okay.
They could also be a 50 win team. But I do feel like they actually have they're one of the bigger question marks to me. Cause they're always one of those teams that just like they can be good with a bad team and they can be bad with a good team. So I do feel like they're an uncertain team. I'm going 70 wins threshold.
So we're both over.
We're both over.
All right. I just like their young guys. I like Pasquantino. I like MJ Melendez. And I like Bobby Witt Jr. And I think that they're...
Carey.
I mean, their rotation is like, it's not looking good right now. But like, they're all young guys that are in there that have kind of been knocking on the door for a while. Maybe one or two of them takes the next step this year and, you know, wins them some ball games. And then they got a good bullpen to kind of help carry them a little bit when they get in trouble. I don't hate this Royals team. I do think they're a little weak offensively, but they like you said, they've kind of always looked a little weak offensively. So you never really know. Okay, well that, Isaac, I guess moves us into, we're still in our E tier here. Who have we got so far? We've got the Royals and the Tigers that we've covered in the E tier.
So we have three teams.
Which of these next three teams, Isaac, do you think is the worst? None of them? Oh, no.
No. I have...
Who do you
an
have
issue
here?
Against the team, I guess. I don't
what
like
team
the
is it?
San Francisco Giants at all. I don't you know. Don't? But okay, I'm okay with this because you have two of the teams in here that I would definitely... I would probably keep in, but I have a few mixed between E tier and D tier at the bottom and the top again. But I'm okay with this. I am okay with this. The thing I'm not okay with is how high you have San Francisco in its own tier. So okay. I'm okay keeping this the way it is if you bump down San Francisco a little bit in its own tier.
That's fair.
Okay.
I'm on board with that.
Okay.
Because Greg was also super low on them, too. So then it's not becoming a consensus anymore. Then it's just me basically overreacting to what they did last year.
They're overachievers. They've been overachievers.
It's true.
And
we keep. But here's
like,
the thing, Isaac. We keep waiting for them to not overachieve, and then they do.
No, that's so why like, I'm like, stop? Okay, yeah. So that's why I was like, they're fine in their own tier. But I'm like, this has to just stop at some point. I want it to stop. I want them to go back to where they should be. And I want them to be trash. I love that ballpark. I just don't think that team should be as good as they are.
Okay.
And they won't be this year.
So with the remaining teams in the tier, Isaac, you tell us which one you want to talk about right now.
Why don't we keep it in Arizona then? Because they are a rebuilding team.
Yes. This, I think, is where we kind of change, where we switch gears. All of the other teams we've talked about up until this point, I would say, are bad.
Yeah.
They're bad teams. They're not good. They're not going to compete. It's just a fact. You know, they have things to watch for. You don't have to not watch the games because there is still interesting things to track and follow and things like that. But they're bad. Now we move into a class, and this is almost the flaw with the tier system, is that we're lumping in these next three teams with the likes of the Kansas City Royals and the Detroit Tigers, despite the fact that I think that this next team is a step above. And they are the team who's beautiful jersey I am rocking right now. A jersey.
Show off the jersey one more time. It's beautiful.
No, mind you. Okay, yeah, sure, no problem. Yeah, it's the Diamondbacks 99 jersey, 98 maybe their inaugural season. Don't really remember actually, but it's got the blue or the teal and the purple. It's got Randy Johnson on the back. We're talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks, and. Yeah, right now in the rotation, they're rocking Zach Gallen, who's sneaky good. Is he even sneaky good at this point, or is he just good? Do people just know that he's good? Merrill Kelly had a good season last year. And you got the psycho old man in Madison Bumgarner, who is still giving you innings, you know? You can't hate on him too much. He's still giving you a 4 ERA and, like, damn near 200 innings. All right, that's good these days. And then he got Zach Davies, who has also ate some innings in his day. And the fourth spot is kind of up in the air still. I'm sure it's going to be like a young guy who gets a chance. So we'll see who that comes down to. In the bullpen, we got Mark Melancon, Miguel Castro, Andrew Chafin, and Juris Familia. Those are who I would consider people of note. We'll move into the position players here. Two big acquisitions that they made. They did a big trade with the Blue Jays, sent Dalton Varsho out, and brought in Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Gabriel Moreno, who was the Jays' number one prospect. He's a top catching prospect in all of baseball. And, yeah, he's probably going to be their starting catcher this year, so that's like a really good opportunity for him. He wouldn't have really had that chance in Toronto, so it's going to be interesting to see him grow.
And they got him for cheap.
You think so?
Yeah.
So you ended up, when that deal happened, I was saying that I felt like the Jays super overpaid for it, and I swear you weren't on board with me at that point.
No, I was. Changed? I didn't like that. I did think Mourinho had to move, but I think they could have got a lot more for him. And
there you go.
And I like
D-back's got a steal.
Yeah. The thing with Mourinho, I'm not upset that he's gone because we don't really have room at this point in time for a young catching prospect that was like ready. He's on the verge. Since we have an established team, this is a team that should be contending year in, year out right now, and they have catchers already on that roster that can be part of that. So I do think they should have got a bigger haul. But
yeah,
it is what it is.
So Gabe and Lourdes are in. Dalton Varsho is out. At first base, you still have who I think is probably the most underrated first baseman in the game, Christian Walker. He hit, 38 home runs last year or something like that? Damn near 40 home runs. Gets on base. His expected batting average is much higher than what it has shown, than his actual batting average. So, you know, there's hope for him to even improve on that front. He's a good defender. I like Christian Walker a lot. Then at second base, you got Ketel Marte, who obviously had some good seasons, kind of looking to get back to that form. At shortstop, you got Nick Ahmed. Then they brought in Evan Longoria at third base. That's kind of an interesting mix in, an interesting veteran there who has still been somewhat decent in his veteran days. And then your outfield, Isaac. This is where things get exciting. You got Lourdes Gurriel, the new guy, who can hit for average. He'll help your team. Kyle Lewis, a sneaky grab, former rookie of the year from the Seattle Mariners. He's spent some time with knee injuries. Hopefully this year he can be healthy and be a big contributor for them. And then Isaac, you tell us this next guy, because he's your dude.
This is the player I'm probably most excited for in the MLB to watch, and that's Corbin Carroll. Consensus, he's between number one and number two prospect with Gunnar Henderson. And his flaw, there is a flaw, and it's one concern, and there's no other concerns for this guy except this one, and he has struggled mightily at every level to hit left-handed pitching. So my biggest concern with him is Lourdes Gurriel was a weak side platoon in Toronto. Let's be real. He didn't hit right-handed pitching very well. And he raked against lefties. So there's literally platoon elements here. But Corbin Carroll is also a great defender. So he'll play every day. This is a guy that Arizona is building their franchise around currently. And this is what kind of made me boost Arizona a bit. I do think this is one of the offenses to watch in baseball. There's a lot of work to do on pitching still. But I think if you have Corbin Carroll clicking, then a lot of the other guys will follow suit. Gabby Mourinho will be exciting as well. But Corbin Carroll is, I can't say it now, but easily, arguably the top contender for NL Rookie of the Year. And who knows, 1 or 2 years from now, he will be an MVP.
There you go. You heard it here first, folks.
I said this about Wander Franco.
DH, yeah, that's true. DH, you got Josh Rojas and Jake McCarthy. The over-under, Isaac, is set at 74.5. Last year, they won 74 games. This is a tough over-under because I feel like 74 is kind of exactly where I'd expect them to go.
Mm-hmm.
74, 75. I could go either way on this one, but I think that it's because they're going to be right around that 74 mark. I think they're going to just be slightly under 500. But I'm going to be optimistic because I like what they've done here with this roster, and I'm gonna take the over.
Same.
Nice. All right. My cat has officially made an appearance on the camera.
Oh, are we recording all of this?
Her. Yeah, it's been recording, but it's fine. I was going to cut out the... I just took a bathroom break for her reference for everyone else.
I was talking to Zoe.
Yeah. My cat is fully on camera right now. We're just going to leave her there. Let her be a bit of a distraction. How come every time I... There, okay, there. The camera figured it out. All right. Let's dive back into this, Isaac. We have now added the D-backs, the Tigers, and the Kansas City Royals to our E-tier. The next team I have on this list is the Miami Marlins. And Isaac, this is another team I think has interesting upside, kind of like we just discussed with the D-backs. I kind of like what they're doing here. And, you know, unfortunately, they just don't have what it takes to crawl out of this E-tier for me yet. Their rotation is solid.
I think it's a step down from last year's starting rotation.
Exactly. It is a step down in my book, and that's not a good look. But they did that in an effort to, you know, move an area of strength into to cover an area of weakness, which
the
is
the weakest offense
they
in
traded
baseball.
They traded Pablo Lopez to the Minnesota Twins and brought back Luis Arraez. I thought that was an interesting move. I kind of feel like maybe Arraez isn't exactly the type of guy that they needed in this lineup, because it's a lineup that lacks some power, and they just kind of got average for him. But nonetheless, anyways, the rotation without Pablo Lopez now looks like Sandy Alcantara, Johnny Cueto, they brought him over, had a good season last year, which is kind of interesting. I think a lot of people had written him off. Not sure I'm banking on him to be great again, but, you know, Miami seems to have something in the water down there for their pitchers. Then you got Jesus Luzardo, Edward Cabrera, and Trevor Rogers, who is a guy that I think is going to have a comeback year, because he did have a really good rookie year. And, he's interesting to me. Then when you move to the bullpen, you've got Dylan Floro, Matt Barnes. You switch to the position players, and it's not as good as the pitching side, I would say, but there's things to like here now. You got catcher Jacob Stallings, who was a trade from the Pirates, I believe. And then you got first base, you got Garrett Cooper, who has been around for a long time for them. Kind of a lefty masher. So, you know, he's just kind of is what he is at this point. He's like a decent big league player. Second base now is covered by Luis Arraez, who we mentioned came via trade for Pablo Lopez with the Minnesota Twins. And then you got at shortstop Joey Wendell, you know, a guy that was with the Rays for a long time. He is interesting. He provides some utility. He can kind of hit for average a little bit. Then you got Gene Segura at third base, Gene the Hit Machine. He's obviously a new acquisition as well. Then in the outfield, former second baseman and allegedly going to win a Gold Glove this year, according to him. You've got Jazz Chisholm. Outfield, also John Birdie, who led the National League in steals last year. Avisel Garcia, also coming over and joining the Miami Marlins. That rounds out their outfield. And then at DH, you have Jorge Soler. So, Isaac, what are you thinking? The over-under is set for the Marlins at 75.5. Last year, they won 69 games. Do you think that this team improved or got worse? Do you think they improved to the point of 75.5 wins, which is what the over-under set at?
I think it's very close. Also, my internet cut out. Did you notice that? Or was I still
did,
there?
And I just kept talking.
Okay.
You didn't even need to bring it up. No one would have known.
Well, no. It was like, are we still... Is anything going to be cut out? We'll see, I guess.
No, it's all good.
Okay, cool.
we're still going.
I don't know. I'm sure you mentioned Jazz. I think a lot of this over under rests upon the shoulders of Jazz Chisholm. This is a tough call for me. I do want to hit the over for this team, though.
Oh.
It's a hopeful over. It'll be very tight, and I think they're more likely to go under just because I think they could be in the range of 70 to 75 wins. And I think their over element is 76 wins. So I'd be cautious with this one. They don't have a lot of room for error.
Okay. I'm going to take the under, and I think it's literally under by half a game. I think 75 is my projection for them. So that would be the under. But I don't see them having... The biggest problem for me, I think, is that this is their lineup now. You know, injuries come into play. The rotation is not as deep as it was. And I think that, you know, someone gets hurt. They don't have the depth, I don't think, to fix that. And I don't know. I think that the ceiling is kind of... The ceiling for me is like they are a 500 team. But I think that it's more likely that, you know, they become sellers at the deadline and end up having a bad second half. And yeah, I'm going to take the under.
Yeah.
You take the over. It's good that we have some disagreements here and there.
Yeah. My brain says... under, my heart says over. I like Sandy Alcantara. I like this roster as a fan perspective.
Yep.
So I want to say over.
I also think that like the Marlins kind of have a little bit of movement right now in terms of like their fan base. Like I've noticed online, it seems like there's a lot of like younger fans that are gravitating towards the Marlins. And I think a big thank you should go to Jazz Chisholm. Why can't I say people's names today?
It's okay.
thank you. I think a big thank you has to go to him, I think, for drawing in the younger crowd.
Yeah.
He's got the cover of MLB The Show this year, Isaac. Did you know that?
Of course.
In the States, because we're going to get some fucking...
No, we get the normal ones now.
Do we?
Yeah, we don't get... That's exciting. We don't get, like, Brett Laurie on the cover. which was... I think they realized that was probably a horrendous mistake. Because I'm pretty sure we had Tatis on the cover in 21. I didn't get 22. I don't know. But I got the Jackie Robinson edition then, but it was still either Tatis or Jackie Robinson. And I think this year it's either Jazz or Derek Jeter. And I'm not going to lie.
I'm taking Jazz.
I'd way rather have Jazz. I think Jazz is just a better athlete. I don't want to say he's... I don't want to put this because I think Jeter might have, at the end of the day, a better career track record. But athleticism, I'm going Jazz.
And fun level.
Derek Jeter is no fun. Alex Rodriguez was more fun than Derek Jeter.
That's scandal.
Anti-Yankee take.
Yeah,
but
that's okay. We're not a pro-Yankee podcast when Greg's not on the podcast, so... Suck it.
I just hurt a lot of people's hero, and that's fine. I'm making enemies today.
We've been on record as not being the biggest Derek Jeter fans. Yeah.
Obviously, anti-Leafs and anti-Derek Jeter, apparently. Yeah, I think
we're anti-biggest establishment.
But we should be more anti... We should be less anti-Jeter. No. You know what? Jeter was part of the reason Miami introduced a couple years ago that no beard policy. Fuck Derek Jeter for that.
I mean, the Yankees got to him, but he was always kind of like a Yankee at heart.
Yeah.
He wanted to be a Yankee.
But that's changed. You know? He's changed his tone. Is he even involved in Miami anymore?
I don't think so.
Exactly. They got a lot more exciting since. They brought in...
Yeah, they're more fun since he left.
Who's that? Who's their GM again?
I think not.
What's her name?
I don't know. She's the only female GM,
yeah,
though, isn't she?
Yeah. They've done a great job in the past 2 years. Kind of reestablishing themselves as a fun franchise.
Worst ballpark I've been to, though. I haven't been to Oakland yet.
I
but
it blows me away.
Of recent stadiums, dude, it's not good. I actually went there, and I've said it on record before, I'll say it again. It felt like an airport. It didn't feel like a baseball park at all. There was no atmosphere. It was dead. It was boring. And, you know, it just didn't have, like, the vibrant... Like, Miami is such a vibrant and fun city. You did not get that represented at all at the ballpark. And for that reason, I was super disappointed by it. And, yeah.
It's odd.
I think they should have kept the green walls and all that ugly shit they had.
Yeah. The weird monument thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looked Miami to me.
Yeah.
No, it's...
They have, like, this whole district called Wynwood Walls in Miami where they have, like, all these local artists that paint the walls of the buildings and stuff in there. I think they need to bring some of that into the ballpark. Just have, like, graffiti and shit everywhere.
It is weird. I, like, that'd be cool. That whole stadium, if that stadium has gone through more changes since its inception than the vast majority of stadiums in baseball. And the vast majority of stadiums in baseball are 10-plus years older than that one. So...
Yeah, because they haven't figured out, they haven't got it right yet.
Yeah.
And, I mean, one of the big things, too, is that they should have also made a statue for Jose Fernandez, and instead it's just a tiny little plaque, so.
Yeah, because people were being, they wanted to cancel Jose Fernandez.
Yeah.
Which is...
A guy who rescued someone who was falling off a ship. On the way to Cuba.
And no one knows that, like...
A legitimate hero.
They just... As soon as they found the shit that there was alcohol in his system, they're like, oh, he killed people. And we don't know anything about that. Jose Fernandez was... It should be treasured in Miami Marlins culture forever. And he needs a statue. He put up the best few years of anybody that's ever played there. He brought more excitement to the game than anybody else. And I remember...
And to Miami. Yeah,
and if you look back when he was actually pitching, that team, their attendance tripled every time he stepped on the mound. He was massive for the Cuban population in Miami. I remember the D. Gordon home run after that. That will always go down as one of the most iconic moments in history. The fact that he doesn't have a statue there is an atrocity to humankind. It's I blame Derek Jeter for that. Someone
that
needs
might
to
be
blame.
A little bit to put on him. Anyways, let's move on. That's it for Miami. We do have them in the E tier, but I hope that they do better. They're a franchise I'd like to see succeed. And I'd also like to see them make more changes to their ballpark, because I still don't think it's where it needs to be in terms of representing Miami. So,
I don't actually blame Derek Jeter. I'm sorry.
Do you want to talk about a team that has a fun ballpark? A really cool historic ballpark? People are going to be really mad that we have them in this tier.
Look, I think this is the worst team in the AL East right now.
I agree.
Boston Red Sox. Playing with, they have lots of money. They have not utilized that money very well until they.
Chaim Bloom has been a disaster.
Yeah. Thank God they finally listened to the fans and they extended Devers. But they've missed out on many players. Xander Bogaerts, Mookie Betts. They let all those guys slide.
JD Martinez is gone.
Boston Red Sox are clearly in a rebuild. Yeah. I think this is annoying to me because, like, Boston is one of those teams that you know can succeed if they want to. So at this point in time, they are going to be in the E tier. So they're in the E tier for now, but they're one of those teams, if they're hanging along, they're going to make acquisitions.
Yeah, where they're at right now, they are not good enough to be higher than our E tier. And that's, I think, just a simple fact. Their rotation right now, to me, Isaac, is horrible. I think it's really bad. I don't think there's enough depth there. They already have injuries. And basically, who they're missing right now is, you know, Chris Sale. Chris Sale is there, sorry. But he hasn't been a guy that they can depend on over the last couple years. You got Nick Pivetta, who's actually been like their most, I mean, he hasn't been, but he probably is the most dependable guy right now. You know you're going to get innings out of him. Then you got Corey Kluber, who they just picked up this year. And that's basically it for like certainties going into the year. You got Chris Sale, Pivetta, and Kluber. And then you got Garrett Whitlock, who's injured right now. You got Paxton, who's injured right now. You got Brian Bailo, who's injured right now. And so then you're basically like, who are you bringing up? Like Tanner Houck. We've seen him go into the rotation. It hasn't been very successful. Their big offseason acquisition, one of the two, I guess, is Kenley Jansen in the bullpen. I mean, I don't really even trust him at this point in his career. Then you got Chris Martin, who is another bullpen arm and has had some success, but is he a needle mover? In my opinion, no. And then again, yeah, Tanner Houck is also a part of that bullpen, but will probably have to be thrust into the rotation because of the injuries that are already happening to them, to an already shallow rotation, I would say. You got Ryan Brazier also out there, who has been decent at times, but isn't really anything more than just okay. And then you move to the lineup, and they're significantly weaker. They lost Christian Vasquez to the Astros. And wait, is he at the Astros, Isaac Christian Vasquez? No, he's not, right? They traded him to the Astros last year, I think, and then he signed somewhere else. I have to remember. Can you look that up?
Minnesota.
Okay. It's an interesting spot for him. And then we got Reese McGuire as their starting catcher, a guy who is like basically just the Jays just let him go for nothing. So that tells you something.
For some valid reasons.
Yeah. You can look it up. We're not going to tell you about it on the podcast, but if you really want to know why Reese McGuire is has some question marks surrounding him, just do a Google. First base, we got Tristan Cassius and Justin Turner at this point, who is another offseason acquisition, who's basically just a veteran that they're adding to the team that I don't want to say is again not really that much of a difference maker right now, but if you're trying to compete in the AL East, don't think Justin Turner is going to do it for you. At second base, you got Christian Arroyo and Adalberto Mondesi, who I don't know if they traded or signed as a free agent, but he was longtime Kansas City Royal and just dealt with a shit ton of injuries and has never really amounted to much. He did have one season where he stole like 40-something bases, I think. But yeah, and then you're starting shortstop because you lost Xander Bogaerts is now Kike Hernandez. Don't love that. He's like a decent big league player, but he definitely doesn't fill the Xander hole. And then obviously Devers is their guy at third base. And then in the outfield, Isaac, we've got a couple new acquisitions. They have Yoshida, who they signed as a free agent from Japan. A lot of people think that they super overpaid for him, but there's also still a lot of projections that are very favorable for him. So kind of hard to tell. He's one of those guys you're just going to have to see and let things play out. I personally thought that like Seiya Suzuki had a more interesting career in Japan before coming to the Cubs. But yeah, I mean, again, it's kind of like a lot of the time when you sign these guys from Japan, it's kind of a bit of a gamble and you don't really know exactly what you're going to get. So we'll see how that pans out. The other free agent that they signed was Adam Duvall. And yeah, then you got Alex Verdugo and Jaron Duran also in the outfield. The over-under, Isaac, is set 78.5. Last year they won 78. Do you think they got better or worse?
Oh, my God. This is one of the tougher ones for me. It's Rafael Devers, man. Under.
Yep. I'm slamming the under as well. I don't think they're a good team. And I think that they're kind of this team that's in a stage of like the fans kind of just want them to just fucking rebuild, please. Just like, let's build this up. And yet Heim Bloom is like also kind of in the, I don't know. It seems like this team is lacking guidance and doesn't really have a specific vision and direction right now. And I just don't like that for the team. And I think that they're going to end up being sellers by the halfway point of the season. And I think that that's going to also drive down their over under. So I'm taking the under. You said you're taking the under too.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, Isaac. That's the end of our E tier.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Diamond Gems. We'll be back next Monday with our D tier. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a kind review wherever you listen to your podcast. And follow us on Instagram at Diamond Gems Podcast and at Shaped by Sports. Thanks, and we'll catch you next episode.